When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Forever Dog.
It's me, Falcor. You can have anything you want at the Never Ending Story Never Ending Theme Park. You'll find all your favorite moments from the Neverending Story in theme park form. Look, here's a very fast racing snail that's an incredibly boring ride.
We're going to see the Empress.
Look, it's the giant rock guy that in the 1980s plumbed the depths of the possibility of creature animation, but today looks like he was almost not moving at all.
The nothing. Came and pulled my friends away.
What a cock! If you get lost at the never-ending theme park, don't worry, I'll find you! Atreyu! I'm the creation of an insane German! Ride some of the kid rides, like Artox! Halfway into the ride, the horse sinks into the mud!
Artox!
I like rubbing that one in. Much like the movie Never Ending Story, this theme park is built towards children, but will terrify them for life! I don't know if I'm good or evil! That Never Ending Theme Park! Nobody who's ever come in has ever come out! Mention this commercial for a free talisman that does nothing but get you into more trouble! Act now, otherwise, it's the nothing! Atreyu!
Restrictions apply. Check website for blackout dates. Offer void of transfer. No refunds or exchanges. Must be Gen X or older. Limited time offer. Check local listings for participating locations and manufacturer's MSRP. Fantasia Attractions LLC assumes zero liability. Okay!
Who are they? Who indeed are these? Shunned by society? Forbidden from the walls of the sacred castles? They were the sonorous outcast scions of a doomed civilization. They lived among us. They walked at night. They were the underculture. The underculture. They were the underculture. They were the underculture.
Wow. I'm excited. This is the Underculture Podcast. I'm James Adomian. This is episode 4. And we are already, thanks to you listeners, we are already getting ads like that coming in to this podcast. What an honor. The Never Ending Story, Never Ending Theme Park. I'm going to check it out. Think I might go there as soon as we take some vacation time. I'm going to pop down there. We're so grateful that you guys are listening so much. We broke the top 100 in the Apple Podcast ranking. We're grateful for that. The advertisers have taken notice. And so we're getting, you'll hear it this episode, we're starting to get some of these major brands trickling in going, hey, Underculture. Hey, psst, Underculture, what's your price? And what I always say is like, hey, is there enough brand in your diet? That was an Andy Kindler delivery for you if you need it.
Guess what? Ask your doctor if you should have a high brand diet. Am I wrong?
What's wrong, ladies and gentlemen? You don't like the Falcor material? Huh? What should I skip? How about the lab? Should I skip the Labyrinth closer? Huh? Oh, I see through the hero's journey, so I'm the bad guy?
Andy Candler, wonderful guy. Hi, Andy. I use this part of my podcast to say hi to people that I owe a phone call to. Hi, Andy. Love you, baby. To reiterate once again, for those of you who are slow on the uptake or behind on your underculture podcast lore, and the lore is legally binding, by the way. This is a podcast where we play found audio. Most of it is unauthorized, given to us by moles. And I mean suspect growths on people's backs. We have moles in all these organizations, and they're giving us this audio, almost like a WikiLeaks situation. You have no sovereignty. So we're getting a lot of this stuff. We're grateful for all of you who are finding us on Patreon. That's how to get in touch with us. That's the only place that we're paying attention to anyone messaging us. If you're on Patreon, we consider you a real person. And Patreon is also the only place that we're accepting these high-level Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy dead drops of illicit audio material. And also, we're hearing some things that are from from other times, and we're digging up stuff from the vaults, audio that was out there that you never should have heard. So this episode, we have some great stuff coming up. And actually, you know, most of what we've played on the Underculture in the first three episodes has been unauthorized. But this time we have actually the first time, I think this is the first major thing we've played that was kind of authorized. We have a clip from an unaired, I think it might be an upcoming episode of WTF podcast with Mark Maron, who is a friend of mine. I don't get to see him as much as I used to, as much as I want to, but he was very cool and generous, and he said, hey, this might be fun on your podcast. So we have an advanced copy of Mark Maron's interview with comedian Rip Taylor from WTF. We shouldn't have this, but somehow we do. Let's hear it.
Lock the gates!
Yeah, what the fuck, what the fuckers? It's Maron. We're here in the Cat Ranch. And this week we got a guest, and it's been somebody we've been trying to get for a while. I'm intimidated. We have a conversation. We sit down with Rip Taylor. A lot of people requested over the years that I get into some of the older comedy names. Rip Taylor's one that's just, he's an intimidating guy. I never liked him. We had some issues back in the day, but then we ran into each other. I just thought, you know, maybe it's time to work it out.
Hi, so Mark.
Here he is. Rip, welcome to the Cat Ranch.
Am I on yet?
You're in the garage. You're on. You're hot.
Look at my ears. Princess Leia. Oh, I knew her mother, Debbie Reynolds. She got me started in Miami Beach in the Fontainebleau back in 1951. Where am I? Nurse, change me. I'm wet.
Yeah, man. All right. So you're in the Cat Ranch. This is the garage. You're talking about Princess Leia. You got, that's the cans. It's a podcast, man.
Oh, yeah, the can. Oh, I know the cans, honey. I've been back since ham radio with bacon radio. Oh!
Fantastic. So, well, let me ask you this. You're on. It seems like you're on. Like, you're always on? Is that the way it is? There's no offstage Rip Taylor?
Honey, I'm on so many pills. If you shake me, I rattle. Yes, I'm on!
You're throwing confetti. Now, you've got confetti throwing in the room. You came in with the confetti and everything. Okay, I get... There's
wow!
A-
Whoa,
you're not seeing this, but he made the entrance. He did the Rip Taylor entrance.
Happy days are here. They didn't have my music. Usually I come out to Happy Days Are Here.
No,
I
didn't want to play the music. You asked for it. I said no, because I thought maybe that would forestall the stage entrance. I was going to have a real conversation with person to a person.
No, I come from the legends. I come from decades of showbiz royalty, and I like to enter with a band, and then I say, hey, stop it, you got the job already, it's one of my bits. What do you think about this coat? It looks like I raped Big Bird.
Now,
secrets.
It's all you wore that intentionally. Is that the joke? Let me ask you this about your process, since apparently all we're going to see here is your process. When you wear a joke like that, and is it intentional because you have the rape the Big Bird joke that you were able to set it up? Is it like a costume prop?
Well, yeah, I do. I come in with the props and all. I did not invent prop comedy. Now, people think I did. There's that
who are your guys?
A Carrot Top, that son of a bitch. Well, they're old folks. Yeah. You probably don't.
You got beef with Carrot Top?
Dead for years. Carrot Top stole my act.
If you got beef with with Carrot Top, it sounds kind of like a carrot stew. I'm trying to do some of your type of humor now.
Well, you're getting in there. I'm going to write that down. Put me and Carrot Top it on a stage together. You're going to get a Denty Morris beef stew.
He's pulling out a feather pin to write down the
that'll
joke.
That'll make you fart tickle.
You got a gilded joke book? Is that how you go?
Yes, that's right. It's fully gilded. It's etched in gold. It was given to me by my dear friend Carol Channing. Do you want to see a picture of her?
I know what Carol Channing looks like. She looks like a Muppet that didn't make the show. She looks like a Muppet that was cut.
Oh, you're good. This kid's good.
So who are your guys?
My guys.
I don't know much about you. Let me about myself. I came from basically I've been a comic. I'm a comic. I was a store. Angry. You know, my issues. Divorced.
Angry.
And I thought it couldn't get worse. And then it's this.
That's
we
funny.
First met, and we actually clashed. We first met on Conan because I held the record for the most Conan appearances. And then it's an interesting fact. I didn't realize this because I didn't come from a place where I respected you. The second most frequent. You were actually the second most frequent Conan guest.
I sure was. I came in the first time. I said, Conan, where's my ice cream?
Now, to be fair, I was doing 5-minute sets, 10-minute sets, couch bits, panel. You always came on to do the same thing, just basically as a punchline, throwing the confetti.
Yeah, well, I get the paper and the hair because I got the wig on. I came out and said, Conan, who is that? Conan O'Brien, or does someone dip a Q-tip in blood?
But, you know, it feels like the whole act, like you're hiding something. It feels like there's something that you don't want to talk about. This is what you're talking about the thing.
Are you kidding, man?
Let me ask you this. You get the confetti. People don't laugh. You talk over it. Is there any laughter at all? Is it even comedy? Or is it a crutch? And you just keep talking, and instead of laughter, people just look at you.
I'm a beloved performer for decades. I was discovered in Miami Beach by Ms. Debbie Reynolds herself, then Dean Martin. I come from legends, and I'm very grateful and lucky, and you should have more gratitude.
Is that how we're going to remember you, Miami Beach?
Yeah, why don't you get out your straight six-string guitar and do a folk song, you hippie?
Okay, look, at least I kept the guitar out of the act. The guitar you can come after me like this. This is the kind of thing. We got into it backstage at Conan back in the day in New York.
Well, I came
He threw this- confetti in my face. He didn't like it. I said, fuck off.
Well, you kids, like, you have no sense of humor at all. Confetti's something. I did a gig on New Year's Eve. Let me tell you a story about me.
I was trying to have beef with you, but you just railroaded right through it.
I'm mad at you, too. I told you. I got plenty of beef. Well, I have a liverwurst sandwich up your ass in a minute, you son of a bitch.
Okay, well, hold on a second. You're gonna put a liverwurst. You make that sounds. It sounds like you're a sexual, violent man on man. Is this something we can talk about?
I don't know what your fantasies
are. Is there anything we can talk about?
Listen, I'll tell you a story about my ex-wife. We had a waterbed in '74. You know, we called it the Dead Sea.
All right, that got me. That got
my sex.
It got me, but I don't know because if it's almost like I have an emoticon on the show. It's like having Daffy Duck. I didn't know I got to do an interview like this. It's almost like you're not even a real person.
Honey, Daffy Duck stole my act. That son of a bitch owes me $758.
Where do you perform these days? You're in L.A.? You're in West Hollywood? Do you ever
no.
do the store? You do the store?
There's not a room big enough for me in that hellhole. Weeho, no thank you.
You almost went weeho, no ho, but then that would just be a plug for a different neighborhood in Los Angeles.
Yeah, and I'm not going to do that because I'm too big for that. Do you know I was a Las Vegas Entertainer of the Year, 74, 75, and 1978.
Don't ask me about
76. Well, I was touring with that bicentennial
float. Who took down Rip Taylor in 76? This is before my time. I was a kid back. Who took down Rip Taylor in 76? What, did the Love Boat take over?
Steve Lawrence and Edie Gourmet. And let me tell you, those sons of bitches are on my shite list. I'll tell you right now.
I feel like there's a level of references that you've gotten into. It's almost every time you talk, there's like a layer. It's like a thicker and thicker layer of references. It's almost like when a squid puts out like a cloud of ink to avoid talking about any issues you might have. It's just a stream of references that you may have real or imaginary beef with.
Speaking of squid, I opened for Judy Garland for 3 years.
That segue doesn't work, man.
She did her own makeup, just like this. Eyebrow, lip.
What about Judy Garland you get from the squid? Where does that come from?
The way my mind works is God's own secret mystery. I can't figure myself out, let alone you cute
The spectacle.
Right, see, that's annoying, dippy, too. Like, I've gone through... I admit that I was homophobic when I was younger, but there's a lot of work that took place. It's not the place I'm coming from now, but you're hitting... You should have a life. Go out there. Just be who you are. Who are you?
Homophobic sounds like some sort of invention they had before the telephone. You know? Isn't that what that is? Am I thinking of a homonym? Is that a figure of speech?
Yeah, homonym. You seem to be dancing around something here. Is this a good platform? I thought maybe you were going to come out with some information.
Speaking of dancing.
Is it not my place to say it, but is there something you want to tell the audience that you've maybe kept bottled up for a while?
Sammy Davis Jr. is one of my best friends. Do you understand that? Do you understand what that man has to go
through? I understand that you're saying it, but I honestly have doubts that you were best friends with Sammy Davis Jr.
He was
with all the people that he knew? You're telling me that you...
He was a consummate professional and one of my dearest friends.
And what does that have to do... How does that affect your journey? He's one of your guys.
Oh, my God. Did I tell you guys, Mark sent a limo for me this morning for the interview. Thank God it missed.
Yeah, man. This is rough. I got to be honest. This is rough. It feels like you're on. It feels like you're doing... Are you getting up stage time?
Listen.
Where are you going up?
Speaking of stage, I got to keep moving because that's how Lincoln got it.
So where are you from?
Just sitting there in the back of the head.
Where did you start? You started in Miami Beach. I'll shout the questions, and I guess this is just setting you up for, like, material. You can't get a deal at Netflix these days. Did you try to pitch a deal at Netflix?
Honey, I wish I could get some of the Netflix money. Have you seen the inflation lately? Have you seen this inflation?
I don't know if inflation is a thing that you can see physically represented.
What you see in the news?
You experience that the currency doesn't go as far.
A tat 2 is now a tat 3. Things have gone up so much.
All right.
Yeah. Pumpernickel bread's pumper dime now. Have you given it a story
lately? It fell flat, but it's almost like your joke. None of the jokes work, but you did it so fast. And
honey.
The voice itself. What is the voice? Because it's not. I want to know what your... I don't think it's your real voice, but where did you adopt it
from? Yes, it's my real voice.
No one sounds like that.
Listen, here's my process.
Fuck,
I learned,
man,
back in the day. You got to keep moving. Pick one. I'm going to keep dropping them and throwing them like confetti. You pick up one. You're like, look at this one. I got it in
fuck,
my bag.
The cats
right
are going to choke on the confetti. What are you doing?
You see this Moses sign?
Okay, he's got... You're pulling props. He's got a big purple bag. What is this? It's a... What are you looking at?
Moses on. It's filled with holes.
Why are you... So it's holy Moses.
Yes!
Why are you doing a prop act? Someone, you're not even on stage and it's on a podcast, man.
Someone killed the left side over there. Hey, I laughed at you when you walked in.
What generation? You're the lost generation? I don't want to date you.
I am the best. What do they call us? The best generation? What did Tom Brokaw say?
Yeah, it's the best generation.
That's
Tom Brokaw. It's a great book. I've got the hardcover. I read half of it.
Listen, you little cheese ball. I'm a veteran Las Vegas and the Korean
the
War.
The last thing I am is cheese. Okay, you're a veteran.
Speaking
that's
of
something.
Cheese.
That's an interview, Rip.
Honey.
Fuck.
Speaking of cheese.
No, you said it, and it didn't make any sense. Now it's a segue into something else.
You seem to be a very angry young man, but you're cute around
working,
the edges. I'm not going to spit on you too soon.
I'm working out my issues. I'm not. Look, I do have problems with anger. That's what the podcast is for. It's reaching out to people if they're willing to have an honest dialogue, person to person.
Helping you with your issues. What am I, a doctor? Is that why your gown is open in the back, Mark? Ha ha ha!
Rip Taylor, this is honestly one of the most challenging interviews I've had.
I guess
we're going to put it out.
May I be sincere and vulnerable for a minute?
This is what I've been waiting for.
Jerry Lewis's muscular dystrophy marathon for 17 years. And we raised millions of dollars together.
All right, so now you switch over to Maudlin.
But you know what I got in here? What do you think you call this?
Okay.
This bra with a D cup and an A cup. I call the odd couple. Boom, boom, boom.
You pulled a bra out of your bag of props. So,
see this shit?
The Jerry Lewis telethon was a setup for a bra joke.
I started the paper. The confetti back in the day because I used to throw hot dogs and marshmallows at the audience and it got too expensive.
Okay, so it sounds like that's a prop. It sounds like it's a prop, but it's a manageable. It's interesting because you got to the confetti. Why? Because it makes people feel good. And they don't necessarily need writing or material or an act or a point of view or anything you would normally expect from a comic.
You know, I carry my jokes around index cards and I rip them at the end. And then I would take the ripped up paper and throw it at the audience.
That's where the origin of the name.
That's, yes.
Rip Taylor.
Yes, that's it. And don't confuse me with Rip Torn, that son of a bitch.
Okay, you've got a problem with Rip Torn?
Well, I mean, he ripped off my name. And you know who is married to Geraldine Page? And it used to say on their apartment in New York,
I don't...
Page Torn. Okay. Ha ha ha! Joke's on you.
Rip, it sounds like you almost, it's like you run out of material and now you're just basically anything that comes up, you're just referencing whatever you've learned from IMDb or gossip in various
games. Have you seen Cheetah Rivera naked lately?
That's a complete non sequitur. Who am I seeing naked?
Norm Crosby is a dear friend of mine. He is one of the kings of comedy. He's still performing at 89 years old. And I don't know how he remembers his act. I had to write things down when I was in my 40s.
So you're in the 40s. Were you in your 40s in the 1940s? You're a little younger than that.
I was born in 1932 in Washington, D.C.
Washington. So your parents were diplomats? They were in the
my
government?
My parents are dead?
Oh, that's obviously, that's probably, I knew that was probably true. That's interesting that instead of telling me anything about them, you just say that they're dead. I've got problems with my parents, too, man.
What are your problems with your parents?
Well, my dad...
They can't stand you work at some sort of a...
Okay, you asked it, and then you just steamrolled through it.
A garage, a bunch of guitars around here. What is this, Jimi Hendrix's mausoleum?
Look, man, I'm into music because I don't have anything that I can enjoy. I don't have anything left. I can't get drunk all the time, so I'm creative. I create this. I'm trying to be as nice as I can to you. Yeah, there's fucking guitars.
I think you should
play,
get
do
drunk.
Do you play? What do you play?
What? I play the audience like a violin.
Okay, I don't believe that. I don't believe that.
You should get drunk. Have you ever
had a walkout?
Have you ever been to Joey Heatherton's back house for Mai Tais?
Do people get tickets to your show when they've lost a bunch of money in Vegas and it's like a consolation prize?
I don't know why you're so angry at me. Clearly you're jealous. And speaking of jealous, Slappy White, he has been mad at me
for
the
last 400 years. Is that even a real guy? Is that a real guy?
Yes.
Or is that a good name?
Get out your Google box, Dr. Bot, and you can tell me if it's real.
It's
you
Mark.
Need to know
it's
your
Mark
elders.
Maron.
It's me again, Mike Lindell, for MyPillow. All across this country, people are losing hours and hours of sleep. And I want you to know there's a solution, and it's called MyPillow. MyPillow is soft and firm, like a goddamn pillow should be. MyPillow is a comfort. Once you purchase MyPillow, there's no DRM. You can do anything you want with MyPillow. It's your property. If you want to fuck MyPillow, go for it. It's humpable. You can put MyPillow between your legs no matter what you've got down there. MyPillow is white, like I believe the country should be. MyPillow is hypoallergenic, but we also offer hyperallergenic versions of MyPillow. If you get off on allergies, you can sleep on a MyPillow full of duck feathers and pollen. Call now, MyPillow, or go to MyPillow.pillow. Now, some people have complained that MyPillow is hard to sleep with at night because me, Mike Lindell, is involved with Donald Trump and I've endorsed him. Let me address that directly by telling you my story. I used to roam the streets of Minneapolis and St. Paul in crack-fueled nightmares without getting sleep for weeks, months, maybe years at a time. I once broke into my own house and held myself hostage. That's how far down I went. MyPillow is the only thing that saved me, along with Jesus Christ and hardcore right-wing Christian nationalism. I couldn't get crack from anybody all over Hennepin County. I went down to the Minnesota State Fair. I held up a booth with cheese on a stick as a handgun, and I swear to God, I tried to rob them. That's how far I was. And let me tell you, what saved me was a vision that I got knocked off a horse like St. Paul on the road to Damascus. I saw a blazing vision of MyPillow. I saw it. I saw it. And it said, Mike Lindell, why do you persecute me? There's nothing I've ever wanted more than the comfort of sleep. You can confess your sins to MyPillow. Nobody will hear it unless you turn on the optional listening device, in which case I'll hear your confessions, and I'll micro-target you for more MyPillow accessories. MyPillow Throw Pillow, where you can have a domestic dispute and nobody gets hurt except for you, because MyPillow Throw Pillow gives back as good as it gets. MyPillow, try it out! It's got memory foam, but it doesn't remember the bad parts, like getting bukkakied on just to get a rock before you had to go in for lunch. Please, keep buying my pillow. It's the only thing keeping me from hell, from Mephistopheles himself. I have a shrine to my pillow where I burn scraps of lesser pillows in front of it to let it know that it is the god of sleep. Log on to MyPillow and tell them you subscribe to the Forever Dog Network, and they'll send someone around to slap you in the face until you fall asleep with a bloody cheek on the side of your own MyPillow that you'll be debited for automatically. MyPillow! Ah!
What's the okay? You were in the Korean War. What was that like?
Yes.
Were you performing? You were a comic at the time.
Huh?
Were you a comic? Were you drafted or you volunteered for the Korean War?
We were drafted back in the day. We were young men, and they said the kimchi's free. Get over here on this aircraft carrier. Ding, ding, ding! All aboard.
It sounds like the life of Rip Taylor that really transpired is very similar to what a cartoon about the life of Rip Taylor would end up being.
I've been very blessed to have been employed in this business, this glorious business of show, for the last 7,800 years.
7,800 years.
Yeah, give or take.
But goes that back to the Bronze Age? Is that who your guys then?
But
Gilgamesh?
Euripides came at me one night. I said, your toga? No go, Togo.
See, the pun doesn't work. That pun doesn't work. You had to change two different parts of the
These
word.
Kids came in. And they just changed the industry to force people out, like me, out of the spotlight. And yeah, I'm mad about it. Barbara Streisand and little Johnny Travolta and Burt Reynolds,
John Travolta. He's been in the garage. We've had John Travolta on.
Is that the sort of a euphemism?
That's what I want to get into. Are you open with your lifestyle?
You want to get into my euphemisms?
I want to know about your personal life. Is there something you want to talk about?
Paul Lynn tried to get into my euphemism backstage at Hollywood Squares. I said, circle gets the square.
You were on Hollywood Squares. Were you the center square? Were you in one of the corners, quadrants? Did you feel like you were shamed or jealous that you weren't in the right placement?
Well, I was on the third tier on the top, which is not great. I was very angry about that because you have to climb up those stairs. Here's a little Hollywood inside scoop. There's no elevator at the Hollywood Squares, okay?
Yeah, I auditioned. I didn't get it. When I was young, I auditioned in the 80s for Hollywood Squares.
You had to audition?
That was a lot of bitterness. Yeah, I auditioned. I did.
We did it as charity work.
I turned in a tape of an angry 15-minute set, and I was honestly loaded. And I could see why they didn't go with it. But I was
I'm baffled as to why that wouldn't want to be on daytime syndicated television in 1984.
I've always had a chip on my shoulder. I always felt like I didn't get the chance to do the Hollywood Squares thing. Maybe you can walk me through it.
A chip on your shoulder? I've got a bowl of guacamole on mine. Let's be friends.
All right, you had to do that. Apparently, guacamole and chip.
I don't think you know what comedy is, Junior.
Well, I don't know your kind of comedy, which apparently it's just razzle dazzle. It's like your kind of comedy is like just it's the Rocky and Bullwinkle opening credits with the lights that go around the square.
Yeah, you're welcome.
That's it. Then the show never starts.
Yeah, but then everyone laughs the entire time, so I win. What is this Hollywood Squares BS you want to do?
Okay, thank you. That's the first thing you're actually staying on. You're staying on the topic.
I'm going to drink another one of my pile drivers.
Fuck, man. This is hard.
Is there a bathroom here, or do we dig a hole and pray?
Yeah, if you need a bathroom, yeah, we can break. Do you need the bathroom, or is that just a joke?
I'm fine. My diaper's not full yet. Continue.
All right, so if I was going to Hollywood Squares, I would set you up with something. If you're one of the guys on Hollywood, you or Paul Lind, one of those guys.
Yeah.
Did you get along, Paul Lind?
Paul Lind? Didn't know him very well.
Oh, it sounds like
I'm
a little
kidding.
Bit.
I'm kidding. I would see him at Palm Springs every third Thursday. He'd throw a mudslide on my face, and we'd call it quits.
Wow, that's a bad anecdote. When you tell your real, I can see why there's so much bullshit, because when you tell your real life story, it's actually just sad.
Who at this table has a star on the Hollywood Boulevard of Fame?
I don't know. Do
dig,
you really?
Dig, dig.
You have a star in the Hollywood Walk of Fame?
Yeah, I have I carry a picture of it.
I can imagine you somewhere on Gower, but I have a hard time believing it's actually on Hollywood Boulevard.
Can you believe I got passed over for the role, Michelle Lee's role in The Love Bug? I'm still mad about that.
I believe it. In fact, I wouldn't even cast you as the car.
Really? Well, then it would have made a lot more money.
Hong Kong. Oh, you think so?
Yeah.
If you were the Volkswagen.
I'm still waiting for your clever
I'm still trying to do
Hollywood
it,
Hollywood Squares, do
this
it.
This is the only thing I've tried to do, connect with you. All right, so let me set you up with a Hollywood Squares thing.
Bring it.
Okay, so out of the last 45 presidents, 5 were blank. What?
On my last nerve, Richard Nixon gave me a stink eye that burned a hole in my skull.
Okay, that sucked. How about this one?
America first.
Is that your real slogan you're going with? America first. Are you alt-right? You're an alt-right guy?
I'm a patriot. I'm a patriotic old man.
That's disappointing. but I don't think there's a fan base that's to be let down. I think that's now just information that enters the ether.
What is your what's your answer, Sassy Pants?
What is the
45 presidents, blah, blah,
ask
blah.
Ask me a different question.
Oh, I ask you a question?
I guess, if you want. Okay. So now I'm Marin and I'm on Hollywood Squares.
Okay. Here's what, and I'm Peter Marshall, a wonderful man, a consummate professional, and eyes that glittered like topazes.
All right, great, fine.
Anyway, here's the question.
Are we going to do this?
I'll pull it out of my story bag, my prop purse.
Okay, he's got, it's covered in
4
confetti.
4 out of 5 doctors say you shouldn't dental floss your teeth every day. What does the 5th doctor say you should do?
Okay, the 5th doctor, there's always, they say go for a second opinion, and I had a rash, and I went in for a second opinion, and I didn't like that either. You know, what they want is you go in, and it's like there's another, adjacent to it, there's another guy in the hospital, and all I want is just somebody to tell me that I'm going to die or I'm going to be okay. The in-between stuff is what I've got a problem with.
I'm now kind of understanding why I've never heard of you, why you do a business in a garage, and why you're never going to be anywhere near Jan Murray or Toadie Fields level of legend or Ms. Phyllis Diller legend.
I am chain gargling these tobacco pills because you're stressing me out.
Nicorette? Do you take the Nicorette?
I have the little pills, the tobacco pills.
She used to be one of Diana Washington's assistants. I remember her.
Yeah, man.
Oh, why don't you smoke a big cigar?
I tried to get on Hollywood Squares, and honestly, I felt claustrophobic in there. I was surrounded by these guys, you know. It's not my. I was trying to be too real at the time.
Was Dr. Joyce Brothers there?
Usually, yes, Dr. It's almost like,
was it George Gobel era, or did you miss that exciting time?
I don't know who that is. Is that a Paul Gobel guy?
George Gobel is a legend.
Everybody you've mentioned is either a legend or an
he
asshole.
Had
is there
hair
any in between
like a
territory?
Porcupine? But I loved him.
All right, let me give you another Hollywood Squares prompt, and let's see if this goes anywhere, or if
all
it just
right.
goes to the straight. If it just goes into another rip loop.
All right.
Okay, so
ordering. Knock, knock. Who's there?
All right. So the 48 states were admitted to the Union before 1959, except these two. What were they? 48 states, and then these two. Which ones
Arizona
were they?
Arizona and Kate Smith Bustle.
Really?
God
really?
Bless America.
Yeah, to do a Kate Smith reference.
Oh, you know who that is?
Fuck me. Yes, I know Kate Smith. Everybody's grandma knows Kate Smith.
God bless America.
Is there anybody still left alive that's enjoying this material, or you're doing it for some kind of history books?
Honey, they said put some baking soda on it. I said the only baking soda I want is like a Coca-Cola cake.
I tried to be on Hollywood Squares, but honestly, there was a stool. When I auditioned for it, I had to sit on the stool because when I'm performing on stage, there's always a stool. And I was sitting.
Hey, guess what?
Yeah, I was sitting on the stool, and it looked too dynamic because it was just my knees in the shot. I was kind of up above the normal height of the person on the square, and it was intimidating. It was intimidating for me, and it was humiliating.
Every time Carol Channing performed, there was a stool on stage, too. She just take a dump, and someone had to clean it up.
Sometimes. Honestly, I walked into that one.
Honey, So did Tommy Toon one night in Tucson. He stepped right in her dump.
Do you have anything? Let me ask you this, Rip. We've got a few minutes left. Is there anything you want to plug? Are there any shows?
Oh, you know, I'd like to unplug the life support on me right now because this is killing me.
That was your chance to plug something, and you're using it for more razzmatazz.
Okay. I'll be at Raspberries in Keokuk, Iowa this Thursday. It's an 11 a.m. show. It's a brunchonet. It's a new matinee they have. I'll be on a riverboat outside of Amarillo, Texas. Don't ask. And I'm going to be there
Easter. Yeah, the club there sucks.
On Easter. And I'm going to be at Sparkle Johnny's in Aiken, South Carolina, the 3rd of March, if I make it.
Wait, Sparkle Johnny's, it used to be a mob club when I did it back in the 80s.
It sure was, and I wish it still was. I wish everything was still run by the mob, those nice Italian men.
The only coherent thing you said on the podcast is you were in support of La Cosa Nostra.
Listen to me.
Is that what we're learning from Rip Taylor?
What would you rather have, a check that might bounce or a nice big brown sack filled with $1 bills that had all been kissed by an Italian widow?
Rip Taylor, we've learned nothing. You've done an act that didn't make anyone laugh.
I disagree. I think you learned how comedy works.
How does comedy work? Will you tell me that? Will you boil it down at least?
Yeah, I'll tell you how it works.
What is your theory of comedy? Because what I do is an act, okay?
What you need to do I'm honest, and when I'm lying, I'm honest about it. You need to write down every word I said and pray to the sweet Lord Buddha that you have a better act next time.
Okay, so what is your theory of comedy then? Where do you go?
My theory of comedy is jazz it, sparkle, bang, pow.
Okay,
ordering, ding, 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 ha ha ha, toupee, confetti. The end.
You didn't even follow the rule of three. You just ran through it. There was the rule. There was no setup. There was no punchline.
Honey, I'm too old for the rule of three. I'm up to the rule of 19 now.
Rip Taylor, this sucks. This sucks. I'm going to put this out almost as like a legal duty because I have to put the interviews out at this point, no matter how bad they are. I don't know anything about you. I didn't like you when you came in, and now I like you even less because there's nothing engaging or human about you.
To be honest with you, I'm not even sure where I am. I feel like someone bricked me up inside a drywall somewhere.
Is it?
And I just am waiting to die.
Well, this is the garage, and it sounds like you're running out of references to the room. Does your act involve a lot of room jokes? Like,
honey,
jokes about what the wallpaper looks like?
Is this wall-to-wall carpeted, or is someone spill a roll of sandpaper?
That kind of joke, that never worked. That's like a Phyllis Diller joke that was rejected.
Speaking of Phyllis Diller getting rejected.
Okay. Speaking of it, you got something? You want to go there? Fuck. Let me ask you this, man. Are you gay? Are you gay?
Are you hitting on me, security?
Fuck, man.
Speaking of getting fisted.
And no one said that. No one was talking about that.
Let me tell you about Thanksgiving at Salmoneo's house. Honey, it was me, Kay Ballard, a popcorn machine, a Desi Arnaz Jr. I blacked out for 3 days. I came to. My nipples were gone.
So
I'm going to go now. Bye.
No, you're
confetti.
There's confetti in the face. Goodbye. He's throwing confetti again. I'm not done. Rip.
Happy days are here again. You got the job
Rip,
already,
come
kid.
On. Rip, come on. Don't walk out. Rip, come on. Come fuck. Man, that was rough. All right. Rip Taylor, I guess if anybody has eyes on him, he's just wandered out into Highland Park throwing confetti down the hill. Hold on, Rip, open the door. Fuck! Rip! Rip, come back! Rip, are we good? You're okay, and it looks like, ironically, he actually ran off like Daffy Duck, and maybe I actually do believe that Daffy Duck stole the act. Because that's almost exactly what Rip Taylor has done. Fuck. That's a first and a last. Rip Taylor, from an era of comedy that nobody needed or understands, I guess. Fuck. There it is, folks. You can tune in next week. Maybe I'll have on Big Bird. Maybe I'll have on fucking... And now it's just Miss Piggy. Screwy Squirrel is going to be on the program next time. Fuck. We just had what he was. It was just like an exclamation point that just showed up and then wilted. Not even an exclamation, like a exclamation point that just wilted, and none of it was good. Fuck, man. honestly, we come from different, and I was trying to be open-minded. Well, that's that. Fuck. I'm gonna eat some chili. Oh my God, I had to catch my breath there for a second. Hi, it's the Underculture Podcast. This is James Adomian. That was that was Mark Maron and Rip Taylor, played by my favorite Sam Pancake.
My favorite Sam Pancake.
You are my favorite Sam Pancake.
You're my favorite James Adomian.
Oh my God, Sam, thank you for being on. That was so funny.
That was fun.
Sam, you and I have done a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
You've done a lot of stuff. I've done a lot of stuff.
We have.
It's so good to have you. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me. I'm delighted. I am so excited and delighted. That went better than I thought it would.
What? Now, I mean, you worked with Rip Taylor.
Yeah. That's the thing is I did an episode of Will. I had a little recurring character in Will and Grace. And one of the episodes I did was when it was like an 03 or 04. And my character works at, it's one of those shows where like at the beginning of the week, your character has all this stuff. And then by the end of the week, and when the show comes out, it's very small, which is fine. The money and residuals are the same. But I played a character who worked with Sean's character, Jack, at this Out TV, this gay network.
Uh-huh.
And I bring in this one episode, I bring in.
This is the original run?
The original run, uh-huh. Yeah. 03 or 04, I forget which season it was. I bring in Rip Taylor as Sean brings in this one character played by Victor Garber to be like this gay icon character. And then I bring in gay icon, we thought, Rip Taylor. And Rip was, I spent the week with him and I saw behind the scenes. And what I didn't do just now and the funny part was how,
oh my God,
he was so, I mean, he's still alive and God bless. And he was an old man then, he's an old man now, but it was hard. He had trouble with his lines. He was so mean. It didn't start off that way.
So it's not like that. It's not like what we were just doing.
No, because if I did.
There is an offstage guy.
It's like, well, that was the thing. I feel bad. I mean, he's not dead yet, but I feel bad talking. I've told
this
story before.
Want.
No. Let me just say this. It was an interesting experience. He did say things to me like, out of the blue, do you know what Debbie Reynolds' cholesterol count is? Or he also carried a stack of photos around from everywhere on the stage to the dressing room of him with his celebrity friends, including a picture of his star on Hollywood Boulevard.
So just to prove it at all the time, he does. This is the most important question I have out of character for you about Rip Taylor. He does, in fact, have a star on Hollywood Boulevard.
Oh, he does. Yeah. He showed me. He carries a stack of photographs around with that photo of the star on top.
That seems so. What is he? He's a guy that's famous for being famous. And as far as I know,
I'm older than you, but he was a Vegas endless, like, you know, I don't know, showroom touring. He opened for all those people, Dean Martin, Debbie Reynolds, Judy Garland, Sammy Davis Jr. He was the opening act. He did prop comedy.
This is an era of comedy before the way stand-up works now.
Completely.
Where it was like someone wearing, basically, like you rip down the curtains from a room and wrap it around you in a tuxedo.
Well,
then you show, it's all like, The
razzle dazzle.
Yes.
Well, here's the thing, and this is, I don't know how bitchy I can be. I was watching the clips again. He makes
give me an eight. Give me an eight on the bitch scale.
Eight on the bitch scale, mama. You can see these clips on YouTube now because I watched a bunch of them yesterday to, you know, supplement my impression. He walks into the room from the back. The band is playing.
Always a band. We're probably missing that.
Always a band playing. Happy Days Are Here Again. Oh. And he goes to the crowd. He kisses a bunch of women on the mouth. He's wearing a big, crazy, Big Bird looking jacket. And so he does the walking through the crowd and the screaming and yelling and like mugging goes on for a while till he even gets to the stage. And then he says to the band, okay, you can stop. You got the job. And then he starts pulling shit out of a bag. And he has everything written down on index cards. And he reads them off the list. Some of them I did on the thing.
And he throws them?
And he's like, oh, that's not going to work. Number 27, cut. You know, he rips it up and throws it. He also comes in with the confetti. Yeah. Well, I guess so. I don't even know that because I couldn't find information on that. I only did a little bit of research. The thing I want to tell you, though, James, is that like the last day of the shoot when we you know, it's a sitcom, multi-camera, you rehearse a week, you tape it. He went up to me and he was like, give me your phone number. And he held out a piece of paper and I was already leery because of the experience I had with him that week. And he was like, and I saw Victor Garber, who was also on the show, who's amazing, had written down his phone number. I gave my phone number. He's like, I'm going to call you Thursday. Act surprised. And he called me constantly. This is back in the landline and cell phone days. He called. I gave him both numbers.
Oh, no.
He was call and just go, like, rats rip and hang up. Or he'd be like, where are you? And he would just
what a night. So almost like answer, a horror movie starring Rip Taylor instead of Chucky.
And he would tell the same stories over and over again, like Judy Garland, three. She was put on her makeup only this. And he would just like go in the same stories about, did you know what Debbie Reynolds' cholesterol count is? Oh, I'm not. Me and Cheetah aren't speaking right now. And he would.
So it's just a set. It's a solar system of people who were that he describes people of being showbiz legends,
yes,
overweight, sick in some way, or we're not speaking right now.
It seemed to be a lot of that. And he seemed very angry off camera.
Have also, you done a show as him?
No, I've done Charles Nelson Reilly at the Mismatch Game. I should do fucking Rip.
Okay, tell me, what were you about to say? Sorry.
Oh, no, what was I about to say? When we did the show, he like, you do Will and Grace. There's always a table read. You come in, you sit down. They're all there. Jimmy Burroughs is always the director. He knew Jimmy's father, Abe Burroughs, you know, who wrote Guys and Dolls. He was an old school showbiz legend. And I guess he knew. Yeah, he did. And so
he's claimed to know him.
After the first table, we're going back to our dressing rooms over there at CBS Radford. And he was like, it's about time they had me on the son of a bitch show.
Oh.
And he was so mad. And then one day he came and he's like, that Jack won't talk to me. And I said, first of all, his name is Sean, not Jack. Oh. Like every day it was something. And I ran his lines with him. He was very, let me say this. God bless everyone. He was very insecure. He was very old. I think he was having memory problems. He seemed, you know, that kind of, he probably had a lot of fear. He's not really an actor. And also, oh my God, James. Also, before we were supposed to do our entrance, he said to me, he's like, how about I don't do this scene and I walk out there and just do some of my jokes? And I was
like, terrible idea.
No, terrible idea, James. But no. Jimmy Burroughs, God bless him, before, you know, we were taping in sequence the episode, and then Jim Burroughs said, ladies and gentlemen, this next scene, we have a legend, blah, 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 blah. Introduce. Please welcome Rip Taylor. And Rip came out. He did throw the confetti. He did like his jokes and everyone applauded for it. It was very nice. And then we went back and then did the scene.
Oh, to appease him.
Because Jim Burroughs is a class act.
Let him do the thing that he wants to do, and then he feels like maybe he'll use it.
Exactly. And also then it made him comfortable to do the scene because he only had like 3 or 4 lines. You can see it. It's on Avail. Avail on, what's it, streaming?
It's Avail on streaming.
It's Avail.
They checked your Avails and it's Avail on streaming.
They said, are you available to stream now? And I'm like, only in the bathroom with a number one.
I love that a Rip whisperer has to basically just let him throw the confetti and shout.
Because he kept saying, do they want the pear and the paper?
The paper,
he calls it. Because his wig, the hair, and is the paint and the
There's
confetti
one more thing
paper.
I want to ask you about Rip before I ask you about you.
Oh, yeah.
He was really a Korean War veteran, right?
That's what
he is. I'm saying it past tense. He is a Korean War veteran.
That's what
right?
It says on all his information. And he said that.
So that's part of the bio.
He said something in the area of like, I am a veteran of Las Vegas and the Korean War. He said something like that at some point.
In an angry letter to you?
No. Just in person.
Oh, my God.
Backstage. He Vegas was very, he was having a rough time.
Sam, you are a Hollywood legend to compete with Rip Taylor, if I might.
Future legend.
You've done so much. You have such a great career from like many. Well, we talked about this on your podcast.
Yeah.
You're not doing anymore.
We're not doing the gasp. I'm doing
the gasp, which I was on
with me and Ross Dress for last year. We will probably do it again. It was an interview one. It was just like too much work every week. We did it for a year.
You
and
did
half.
A lot of research
on a weekly basis. We did it some celebrity in my kitchen for a year and a half, and it was exhausting and for free.
But you've from Will and Grace, you've been on so many
sitcoms. And TV shows. Yeah.
You've done some, and I know you've from shows. You've done so many shows at Casita del Campo here in LA.
Yeah,
which is one of the greatest. I want to shout this out. The Golden Girls show.
Yeah,
Golden Girls periodically.
Live. Yeah.
Is so funny.
Thanks.
It's one of the funniest shows, and I guess you don't do it all the time. It's like once a year.
We do it twice a year usually, like winter and fall.
And the show
or summer.
The show is so funny.
Thank you.
You're all in drag playing the Golden Girls, and you play Estelle Getty.
I play Sophia, yeah.
Oh my God, it's so funny. And everybody has their own spin. It's not like some people do more of an impression and some people do
Sherry
more of a...
Sherry Vine, who plays Blanche, and Jackie Beat, who plays Dorothy, do more... And they are professional drag legends themselves, mm-hmm. but they do more impressions of Blanche, Rue McClanahan and Bea Arthur. And Drew Drogi plays Rose. And Betty White is hard to do an impression of because she's pretty... She's always Betty White, and she's just a simple, nice lady.
And he really
but
leans
Drew
into that.
Takes it to the he has this whole new thing. It has to be seen to be believed. And I just play. I literally play Sophia. Estelle Getty does so little. Everything's like this. Everything's like this. She never knew a lines, and everything's right like this to the thing. Monotone. Ga-ga-ga-ga-ga. So
saying,
I just fucking jump off and make her be a crazy old vaudeville. Sticky, wackadoodle, old Italian man, you know?
Honestly, Casita del Campo has some of the best shows. They're like, they're gayer shows, I guess.
Yeah, it's more of a draggy, campy vibe.
But I go there to watch. I don't think I've ever performed there. That's a place I go for fun.
Oh, good.
And I mean, if you're in LA, check it out. What you're doing another show there with Drew, right?
Drew Drogi and I are
in
doing,
June,
in
which
June,
this is June.
June 18th and 19th, doing a new two-man show called We Are Special Bitches, where Drew plays a self-proclaimed legendary acting teacher, and I'm his star student, who's like this 45-year-old gay man who's furious he's not competing with the Hemsworths. It's one of those acting people that have never worked. They've been here for like 25 years. All their best work is in class. And they're always in class, and they try to like...
I know this world.
Yeah. So I know we're doing those characters.
God damn it. Okay, I have to see that.
And we're going to write plays and make the audience do scenes with us, like
you,
little...
Fuck, okay, I want to be there. That's just two nights, the 18th and
just
19th?
The two nights. We Are Special Bitches.
I could have you on for another half hour to plug so many things that you do that I love, but I know you have to go. You're on one of my favorite shows, Search Party.
Yes. Speaking of Drew Drogi,
you and Drew are, you're just a team now.
The people hire us together. We're always happy to work separately or together. I'm not going to say what we do on it, but we are in two episodes of season three of Search Party, mm-hmm. which at this point right now, when we're taping this in June, check local listings. It'll be out soon. Or my Instagram, The Sam Pancake.
Sam Pancake on Instagram.
Sam Pancake.
Also, great content.
I recur on the ABC show, A Million Little Things, which is a drama. I'm not used to doing these like whisper dramas, and like I'm always too
whisper
big.
Whisper acting, where everyone's like, Game of Thrones is like that. I did a stand-up bit about that where I can't understand it because they're British actors and they're also whispering.
Okay.
And they're like, the others will come from our horse.
What
the fuck are you saying?
Exactly. On A Million Little Things, I love the show. I love everyone on it. I'm so grateful to be involved. It shoots in Vancouver. I love going up there.
It's not your world, though.
It's not my world. And like, thank God for the DJ, the showrunner who put me into it. It's just like, in the room with some of the actors, like, they're talking this. And then you see it on TV and they sound normal. And I'm like, and I'm screaming like I'm in the basement of the Casino del Campo in a wig, you know. So thank God they keep having me back.
Sam Pancake, beautiful on stage, on screen, on mic. One of my dear friends and so funny. I'm glad to have you here on The Underculture.
Come
back again, please.
I would
love to.
Or bring
Rip or either Rip or somebody else.
I'll do Carol Channing next time.
Oh, for God's sake. Do you have to go or are you in a minute?
I got a minute.
Okay, so we've been doing this game. We're going to do it until I run out of answers.
Okay.
But there's this game. It's actually a philosophical ethics problem that they pose in like philosophy classes or like online debates.
I'm so dumb, but I'll try.
No, you don't have to be smart at all.
Oh, good. Perfect. Good.
It's called the trolley problem, and it's a question of what would you do or what is the ethical thing to do in the situation.
I love it.
So the situation is there is a madman who has tied several people to a track.
Okay.
He's tied three innocent people to a trolley track, and there's a trolley heading towards those people, and it's about to run over them and kill them.
Okay.
And the madman has done this. There is also a switch.
Okay.
And that you are next to as this person that has the power and agency to pull a switch that will cause the trolley to go onto this other track where there is one person that will get killed by the trolley, but you'll save the three people that the madman is trying to kill.
Okay.
So do you pull the switch to make the trolley avoid the three people and kill the one person, or do you do nothing and let it play out? Or here's the fun part. You can make your own answer.
Okay, so on the
and
so
you can ask any questions.
Either way, all these folks on the trolley will not be hurt. They will not be harmed.
Well, unless you, if you need them to be. I think the way it works is, yes, the people on the trolley, it's pretty safe. It's just going to run over whoever's on the track.
Because I just go back to Star Trek, and I'm not even a Trekkie. The needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few.
Uh-huh.
So you have to pull this thing to go over the one person. And I don't know any of these people, and they're
strangers
to me.
You don't know anything about
them. And it's not like if one of them dies, one of my relatives dies, like, and I can't control
it. No.
You have to pull the switch to kill the one person if that's your only choice, because it's less than killing three. You've saved at least two lives instead of one life.
You saved two lives. Yeah. You saved three, lost one. So yeah. net gain, two. Net zero out of two lives remain.
That's one more family that'll be grateful for me. Two more family. Is that the right answer?
That's probably the most common answer.
Can I get a time machine and go back and kill that madman?
Yes, that's also an option.
I could also, jump in and try to free the people off the tracks?
That's also true. You can do that. You know what? I'm going to cheat here and say that my answer that I've been waiting to give is that if I'm in that scenario, what I do is I turn and I shoot the philosophy professor that asked it.
Suck it to me. That would be Rip Taylor's answer, too.
What is Rip Taylor's answer to the trolley problem? Rip, would you pull the lever to save the three people and kill the one person, or would you do nothing and let the three people die?
Let me ask you a question. Is Judy Garland on it? Say clang, clang, clang with the trolley. Ding, ding, ding with the bell. Nurse, change me. I wet.
Okay, apparently Rip Taylor would just do the jokes and the trolley would roll over them.
Everyone, yeah.
While he was still doing his act.
Maybe we could aim the trolley at Rip Taylor. Can we put him on the tracks? Can we put a Rip on the tracks?
To put a stop to it, Sam Pancake, the delicious Sam Pancake, okay. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
I'll see you again soon.
Yes, sir.
Look him up at the Sam Pancake on Instagram.
And J Sam Pancake on Twitter, because I can't have my name. It's a long story. Some Australian lady has it.
No photos, no paparazzi.
Just J Sam Pancake.
Catch him live. Catch him on TV. Thank you. What a pleasure.
Thank you, beauty.
Bye. Oh my God, that was the Underculture podcast, episode 4. I'm James Adomian. I'm having a lot of fun here on Forever Dog. Thank you so much for listening. That, what you just heard, the hilarious Sam Pancake as Rip Taylor. Sam Pancake is so funny. If you're in Los Angeles, check him out all the time. Don't limit him to Los Angeles either. He's on the road. But especially in Los Angeles coming up soon, he's in a show with Drew Drogi called We Are Special Bitches. It's a fake acting workshop, and they're doing it June 18th and 19th at the Cavern Club Celebrity Theater, which is underneath Casita del Campo restaurant in Silver Lake. And the tickets are on brownpapertickets.com. Again, thank you to Sam Pancake. What am I doing? You might wonder. Hey, what? I don't lie. What are you? What about you, pal? I have a lot of stuff. Don't worry. I promise you. As you know, I'm on Our Cartoon President, season 2 currently, doing a lot of voices, doing Bernie and Rudy and Hannity. And what do you know? I'm doing Mike Lindell, the founder of MyPillow. And that's actually one of the reasons that he came to us with that MyPillow ad, because he liked the appearance on the cartoon. We started talking to each other. Fun times on Our Cartoon President. I'm on some other cartoons too. Stay tuned for more of that. I'm on the new season. Get this. Hold the presses. Hey, hold. If you're wearing those earbuds that don't have wires, hold them right now, because they're about to pop out of your ears. I am on the new series, Historical Roast with Jeff Ross. It just premiered last Monday. I'm on the episode, which is the Historical Roast of Freddie Mercury, as Freddie Mercury, one of my heroes. Was so fun to do it. Seth Green is on it, Fortune Feimster, Nikki Glaser, and of course Jeff Ross. It's streaming now on Netflix. Watch it. The whole series is fun. I love the Abraham Lincoln episode and Yamanika Saunders. So much fun on that, and you'll love it. Listen to Historical Roast with Jeff Ross. Listen to. I'm stuck in podcast brain. Go ahead, listen to it. Put it on and listen to it like a podcast. We go running or whatever. That's how I watch all my television. Of course, there's one more thing here. Trump versus Bernie is coming back a little bit at a time here and there. Anthony and Tamanik and I are doing a Trump versus Bernie debate on Wednesday, July 17th at the Lodge Room in Highland Park here in Los Angeles. And then also that Friday, July 19th, we'll be at San Diego Comic-Con at the American Comedy Company for two shows of Trump versus Bernie that night. And there will be more cities soon. Be patient, please. We're rolling them out slowly. This has been the Underculture Podcast, Episode 4. Thank you to Sam Pancake. I want to thank my friend Heather Campbell. I want to thank and apologize to Mark Maron. Love you, Mark. But thank you. We are grateful to all you listeners. We're doing very well with listens and downloads. We got MyPillow. We got the attention of Mark Maron. We're starting to get people voluntarily sending us audio clips. This is, I mean, an overwhelming response. And I want to thank, we're in triple digits for our Patreon subscribers. So I want to thank, we are solidly in triple digits. I want to thank everybody subscribing on Patreon. You're little gods. You are the demigods that are sustaining this heaven that we live in. You are the flames that are sustaining these stories. Truly, I think that theater is like a campfire, and we all bring fire, we all bring our stories, we bring our voices, we bring our songs. And that brings me to this. We've mentioned Mike Lindell. We heard from MyPillow earlier. We're grateful that we've got some kind of quid pro quo. Mike Lindell sent us that ad for MyPillow on a little thumb drive, which we thought was unusual, a little flash drive. And there were some other files on there. There were some nude photos of him and a lot of other people, some escorts and stuff. But he also sent a MP3 file that wasn't the ad, another MP3 file of him singing the classic song Drive by the Cars at a karaoke. Apparently, he's part of like a demo track that he's trying to get out there. So thanks for sending this in, Mike Lindell. Take us out with Drive by the Cars. You're listening to the Underculture Podcast. Here's Mike Lindell with a cover of Drive by the Cars.
And all you see is the cars. Car after car after car. Oh, who's gonna tell you when it's too late? Who's gonna tell you things aren't so great? Yeah. You can't go on thinking nothing's right. Oh, yeah. Who's gonna drive you home tonight? Ba-doo-da-doo. Who's gonna pick you up when you fall? Who's gonna hang it up when you call? Who's gonna pay attention? Your dream. Who's gonna plug your ears when you scream? You can't go on thinking nothing's wrong. Why? Who's gonna drive you home tonight? Ba-da-ba-da-da. Ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da. Honestly, it's usually the Hennepin County Sheriffs. If you're lucky, they didn't tase you. Broke into a karaoke bar at 1 p.m. Who's gonna hold you down when you shake? Who's gonna come around
when you break. Yeah, you can't go on thinking nothing's right. Who's gonna drive you home tonight? Whoa. You know you can't go on thinking nothing's wrong. Who's gonna drive you home tonight? You know, come to see the truth, you never have seen me and the governor in the same room together.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey, with associate producer Alex Honnett. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcast.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram at Forever Dog Team and liking our page on Facebook.